Good evening. I'd like to welcome you all to House Ways and Means Committee today. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Let the record reflect it as 6:05 p.m. Today is May 10th, 2023. We are in the Davis Room 106 of the State Capitol. Today we have with us Speaker Tilton, Representative McKay, Representative McCabe, Representative Groh, Representative Gray, and myself, Chair Carpenter. We also have Senator Myers with us. Thank you, sir, for being here. And Representative Craig Johnson, thank you, sir, for being with us. Please silence your cell phones. Kevin Allen with House Records is helping us this evening. Thank you, sir. Zach Lawhorn with LIO. Thank you, sir. My staff, Kendra Broussard, will be the committee aide. Today on the agenda, we're taking up public testimony on Senate Bill 107, and then we will take up amendments on the same bill. Our intention today is to seek the will of the committee for moving that piece of legislation out of committee. And also we'll bring forward House Joint Resolution 7, discuss it, and seek the will of the committee to move that one out as well. The deadline for amendments to Senate Bill 107 was set for 2 p.m. today, and we had a deadline, an amendment deadline for House Joint Resolution on for April 17th. We did not receive any amendments for House Joint Resolution 7. So, without further ado, we will move to public testimony for committee substitute of Senate Bill 107. I will set a 2-minute time limit for public testimony. And I will open public testimony. Are there anybody in the room that would like to testify this evening? Seeing none, I will open public testimony online. I have several people online. So first we will go to Mr. Donald Thompson. Sir, if you can put yourself, give us your name and put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, this is Donald Thompson. I live in North Pole, Alaska. I'm a member of House District 33. I'm here to testify on 107. I support the statutory PFD based on the 5-year performance of the fund. The fund goes up and down with performance of the investments, and so does the payment to Alaskans. It is closer to the resource owner model, and Alaskans are paid as owners. The POMV model pays out a percentage even if the market goes down. In an extreme downturn, it might allow access to the principal of the fund, which is a violation of the Constitution. It turns Alaska into an endowment fund state instead of a resource owner state. Whether the POMV model is adopted or not, a 75% to government and 25% to the PFD should not be adopted. The 75-25 model favors the growth of government over the private sector. While some might think Alaskans want more government services, I don't think that is the case. I think the people of this state want a larger private sector economy. We do not want a vibrant Do we want a vibrant private sector? Then a 50-50 model should be used. If we adopt a 75-25 model, it favors a large government. Give the money to the people and allow them to determine their spending priorities. They can buy land and build homes or spend the money however they see fit. If you give the money to the state, they'll ultimately build homeless shelters, which encourages homelessness rather than real estate and home buying. Thank you. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson, for calling in tonight. Next up, we have, looks like Ms. Julie Moore calling from Soldotna. Ms. Moore, if you are online, you can begin your testimony by giving us your name and your affiliation.
I am fully against the 75-25 in support of statutory PFD. I'm against bigger and bigger government and the homeless shelters. They have fueled crime more than anything, more drug abuse and drug addicts. And the majority of some people who get the PFD spend it on necessities, eating, to do maintenance on their vehicles, safety maintenance. And for the government to have given themselves a 60% pay raise and then cut our PFD is downright ridiculous. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Moore, for your time this evening and spending it with us. Next up, we have Mr. Bert Hotelling calling from Big Lake, I believe. Sir, if you're there, please put yourself on the record by giving us your name and any affiliation you have and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Bert Hotelling. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. I represent myself, my kiddo, and about 5,000 plus Alaskans that follow what I have to say. For 8 long years now, we have been battling you there in Juneau with the theft of our PFD. There is clearly a law on the books, and we demand that you begin following the law. The systematic erosion of our permanent fund dividend, the rights we Alaskans have to the very small share of our resources that we get. You, as Juneau, our government, already received 90% of the revenue that is coming in through the resources of our state, and now you want to take our fair share, too, just to cover government bloat that continues to grow with unaccountable results. We are ranked 50th in the nation across all metrics, including business, schooling, education, so on and so forth. We are the worst when it comes to our crime waves out there, and our homeless problem is beginning to rival those down in Seattle and California. The only way this is going to stop is if you stop your own theft, decrease the size of government, and follow the law that worked for 4 decades until just 8 short years ago. Live within your means. We Alaskans have to. You guys should, too. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, sir, for calling in today. I don't see any other callers online. Okay. I will close public testimony. I'd like to thank you all for calling in this evening. And for those that may be watching this later, if you have public testimony that you would like to submit to the committee, you can still do so. You can submit that by email. And the email address I will give you right now is house.waysandmeans@akleg.gov. And that's house.waysandmeans, and ways and means is all one word. @akleg.gov. Okay, next up on the agenda, we'll take up amendments to Senate Bill 107. Representative Groh.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move Amendment 1.
Object.
Okay, we have an objection. Representative Groh, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, I would. Told the voters last year that you helped bring out to the committee in part, Mr. Chair, the Alaska's oil revenues have fallen dramatically even after the adoption of the percent of market value system, the PMV system. We have insufficient revenues to make up the difference to compensate for the dramatic drop in the oil revenues. I told the voters that I supported the biggest dividend permanent fund dividend we can afford, as someone who had studied permanent fund dividends for 40 years and helped create them back when I worked for the legislative staff when they were first created, when they were created, and that I wanted a goal of 50-50 split of POMV between dividends and conventional public services. The Senate sent us a bill, Senate Bill 107, that stair-stepped up in increments of No, they did not stair step. They just had an on-off switch. Then between 25% of the PMV for dividends and 50%. This amendment number one would instead have stair steps and build over time and with additional increments to get to 50-50, the 50-50 split. And the increments would be in the form of in the amount of $250 million in increment. So I wanted to return to the best part of Senate Bill 107 as it passed the Senate, which acknowledged the fiscal reality that we can't afford to pay 50-50 dividends without new revenue, or pay the per infant dividend out of 50% of the PMV without new revenue. And the version of the Senate Bill 107 that passed the Senate created necessary incentives for Alaskans and legislators to build a durable fiscal plan, which we, of course, need. My problem, however, with Senate Bill 107 was that it was a good goal, but it was too tall a goal and too far off. And so we needed one that was more achievable and gave us any increments. So this amendment, amendment number one, as opposed to having the on-off switch, we would turn instead to a system where we'd have several smaller, shorter-term goals, each that carries an incremental increase in the per infant dividend appropriation. Now, based on the Constitution, or because of the Constitution, we can't try to bind future legislatures. We can set out this framework and adopt it, and then follow it. But this system that I propose in Amendment Number 1 would make the goals more achievable legislature. It would make the goals more visible to Alaskans, and it would invite everyone to be a part of the solution. So, not to get too business school-y on you, a place I've never been, but they have often they use things like SMART goals, SMART specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-based goals to try to help make large tasks more possible by breaking them down to smaller parts and by creating a clear and specific framework for defining objectives and achieving them. So if we have the goals that are more achievable, as this amendment would propose, as a state would make better progress and stay motivated toward that goal of attaining the goal of paying per infant dividends out of 50% of the PMV draw. So a lot of people see the per infant dividend as a problem. I don't see it as a problem. I see it as a boon to Alaska and to Alaskans, and it can be the carrot in our solution. So let's talk about, I have some graphs to show various choices, and the graphs are attached to the amendment. And I thank the committee and the committee staff for copying them and providing them. So the first scenario shows a scenario where the stair step sort of completely works, where $250 million is produced, is generated every few years the next decade. And as these new revenues come online, result in both budget surpluses and larger dividends. So the permanent fund dividend grows to the end in FY32, at the end of the projections, is a little over $3,000. And there's a over time, there's a surplus cumulatively. Toward the end, there's a little bit of a there's some smaller deficits. For most of the time, there's surpluses. And so we see there's none of that dreaded red, bright red of the unfilled deficit. So that's, and the saving balances grow all the way up till the end when they dip very slightly. So that would be scenario number one, which I hope could come true, and would come true if we adopted amendment number one, and then we worked hard as a legislature to generate those revenues. Then there's scenario number two, which shows the revenue staying low for a while, and then growing later. In both scenarios, we see growth in the Constitutional Budget Reserve, and we don't have the dreaded, bright red of the unfilled deficit. We have some, new revenues coming in. In scenario number three, we have the education funding, same as scenario number one, except the education funding. We also avoid the unfilled deficit. although we do have, as we see, some drive toward the end and some shrinking of savings balances. And then scenario number four is under the current committee substitute with no new revenues. We have a lot of bright red, and we have an average deficit of close to $1 billion a year over this 10-year period in a cumulative gap of $7 billion. So these graphics show scenarios that show, you know, why it's a good idea to raise the new revenues so that we can have the 50-50 split between dividends and conventional government services and the PMMP draw that we seek. So I'm obviously a big believer in the deferment fund dividend as someone who helped create it. I also understand it's got to be paid for. In the old days, it was paid for by the whole way the system worked was because there was a very substantial amounts of new oil revenue coming each year. That system stopped working about 10 years ago, just about 10 years ago, a little bit less, and we have not fully adjusted to it. So I think that we need to recognize reality and recognize that to get the 50-50 split on dividends that we talked about and that the Fiscal Policy Working Group also sought, we would need to get, as a Fiscal Policy Working Group, also recognize the new revenues. And this would create an incentive for us to achieve those new revenues. And as such, and thereby, I urge the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
Questions of the committee? Representative Gray.
Thank you. Through the chair, my question is about the first graph. I'm just noticing that even with the $1.25 billion additional revenue, we'd still have to make a CDR draw. Is that me interpreting that last for
FY 32? Right.
So even with $1.25 billion, we'd still have to do a CDR draw, and that's with a $3,000 per person PFD.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay. I have a question. When we consider, and I would just refer to your words about not binding future legislatures, part of the challenge that we have facing us with this fiscal structural problem we have is the fighting, the political football that the PFD has become. How do you see this solving the political football problem?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the question. Well, we would ideally, and the goal would be the legislature would adopt legislation that would generate the revenues, the dividends would go up, and then we'd have a system that would go up over time where the dividends rose. And we'd also have some other additional revenues to pay for some other things as well, like roads, schools, public safety, to be generated under this incentive system.
Okay. Does the may appropriate language help or hinder us in solving that political problem of a political football?
I think it can help us. Because it also marries us to the recognition that we're not going to have a 50-50 dividend without substantial new revenues. And we proved that over the last few months because we can't cut our way out of it, as we have conclusively demonstrated.
Does the modeling that you've shown here indicate a constrained spending environment, or are we just subject to the whims of the legislature and the spending? Does it include a spending, any of the spending cap measures that we've talked about?
There are spending checks in our law now, but there's not a specific statement of a particular spending cap, or a specific assumption that you're going to have a specific spending cap. It shows, you know, some increase as you look at the budget summary, some increase over time after the, you know, going starting from FY 2040, FY 25, very modest increases, similar to what we usually see with assumption of inflation. I do think it would also be helpful if the statute was something that we could afford to follow, as opposed to just passing a statute that's saying, hey, there'll be a 50-50 dividend without a system for paying that. And this is a way to create a system in which we can afford to pay for it over the long run.
Representative McCabe.
Thank you, through the chair. So what do you envision as new revenue? So I see in your first stair step, the revenue that we have to generate somehow keeps going up. So what do you envision new revenue? This seems a little it seems like to me it does the same thing. You say new revenue, but you don't say what revenue or where the revenue is going to come from or anything else. So really it's the same unfunded thing that you just mentioned, that we have a bill in here that's not really funding anything,
there's a policy question there, but if you're asking me for what revenues I support, I'm the prime sponsor of a piece of legislation that would raise $250 million or more a year. I proposed change in oil taxes. I also favor some other changes in oil taxes that are in the other body right now. And it's also the chair has been kind, also been good enough to hear a bill of which I have co-sponsored that would be a high earner tax. And I do think that there's also, since you asked, Representative McCabe, there's also another proposed piece of legislation in the Senate that would raise money on highly digitized businesses. There would be a number of millions of dollars there as well. The state has access to new sources of revenue. It's up to the Alaska legislature to have the will to pass them, and I humbly submit that we need them to finance roads, schools, public safety, public health, as well as permanent fund dividends.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay. Looks like the committee has exhausted the questions here. Representative McCabe, do you maintain your objection?
Yes.
Will the recorder please call the roll?
Representative McCabe?
No.
Representative Gray?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Howard?
No.
Representative Groh?
Yes.
Representative McKay?
No.
Chair Carpenter?
No.
Two yeas, five nays.
With the vote of two yeas and five nays, amendment number one has not been adopted by the committee. Representative McCabe?
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I move amendment two.
Yes. Object. And I will speak to the amendment as I have asked this amendment to come forward. So amendment number two, as you have before you, deletes material and inserts at section 9, the codified law of the state of Alaska is amended by adding the new section to read. And this is a conditional effect. So this act takes effect, the legislation here, this bill would take effect only if by July 1st, 2024, the legislature passes a resolution proposing an amendment to Article 9, Section 15, Constitution of the State of Alaska that requires an annual permanent fund dividend to be paid to eligible residents of the state. Section 10 also states, it includes Section 10, and Section 10 states if this act takes effect, it takes effect July 1st, 2024. Any questions on the amendment? Representative Gray.
Yes, thank you. So question for the chair. If the voters of Alaska didn't pass Sorry. So it's just stating that the legislator passes the resolution.
Correct.
Okay. And is it the intent of this amendment to, I guess, exert leverage toward passing that resolution?
Representative Gray, nope. Leverage would not be the right word. I would just say that it is tying the two pieces of legislation together. We're passing out two pieces of legislation tonight, and this is tying this piece of legislation, which is a bill, mm-hmm. to a resolution that gets passed. This doesn't specify what resolution. It just specifies a resolution that deals with constitutionality of the dedication of the PFD. Right. So that's what it's tying it to.
Follow up.
Yep.
Is there value? It's a question for the chair. Is there value in having a bill that states that we want a 50-50, even if it's not like we're not constitutionally bound to follow that formula?
Is there value, Representative?
Meaning, if we passed the bill but we didn't have the constitutional amendment, is there still value? I mean, I guess the underlying part of my question is that there could still be value if we state that we believe it should be 50-50, even if we don't have the Constitution to force us to do it.
So, Representative Gray, the way I would answer that is it's a complex problem that we have. We haven't been able to get in the last 7 years, we haven't been able to get the will of this body to address any sort of change to the PFD program. Statutes. So the approach that I have taken is to bring forward several pieces of legislation as a fiscal plan that can be enacted together. This piece of legislation, the amendment that's before us, is tying the piece of legislation that's before us and another piece of legislation together as one part of that fiscal plan. The question you bring is, if we didn't have it tied, mm-hmm. would there still be value of putting this together? And I would say that without a constitutional amendment that directs a payment of a permanent fund dividend, meaning it's dedicated, it's allowing us to dedicate it, then it doesn't solve the problem that we have now, which is one of appropriation. The legislature will always be able to come in and squabble over how much the permanent fund dividend needs to be, and also that same statement is also how much does the permanent fund earnings need to pay for state government? Okay, so the value of having this piece of legislation is in solving the political football problem, the PFD problem that exists and has existed ever since we started using the permanent fund earnings for state government. So I'm not trying to solve a problem other than the political problem, the political football problem. And that problem isn't going to be resolved if you don't have a constitutional amendment. There are limitations for getting a political agreement on a constitutional amendment. People do not have agreement, legislators do not have an agreement on putting a 5% of market value draw or a particular dollar figure or split of a dividend into the Constitution that would permanently end that problem. So the best that I've come up with is to say that we will have a PFD and that we will have a way to define the earnings of the permanent fund dividend, what can be the permanent fund, which can be spent. And those would be by law, which is the bill. One part of that is the bill before us. So if you don't tie it with a conditional effect, then you would pass one half of the piece of legislation. I guess I should back up and say, if you don't tie it with a conditional effect and we only pass the easier part of this, which is the bill and not the resolution because it requires more votes, then you're not actually solving the problem. We're back at square one. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the way that I would answer.
I withdraw my objection.
Are there any other objections to Amendment Number 2? Okay. Hearing no objections, Amendment Number 2 is adopted by the committee. Are there any comments or additional questions of the committee members on Senate Bill 107? Representative Groh?
I reiterate what I've said before. I have ran on and believe that we need to settle the dividend question, the question of the permanent fund dividend, and resolve it and keep it healthy, sustainable, and growing in the context of a comprehensive fix to our structural deficit. And I believe that the guarantee of the dividend really only works if you amend the underlying bill, as I proposed, to recognize that we need additional revenues. I understand, Mr. Chairman, you talked about the revenues, and you certainly worked a lot and brought some revenue legislation, had some hearings of legislation here in this committee. So I'll be voting amend on this based on that position.
Any other comments or questions? Representative McCabe.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. So the Fiscal Policy Working Group, there were four legs to this stool. There was a constant, the PFD, there was revenue, there was cuts, and
spending limit.
Spending limit, spending cap. This is the PFD. These two pieces of legislation are the PFD. We've heard some revenue bills, no doubt, as you said. But I have to take exception with what you said earlier, that we tried to cut spending this year and were unable to do so. By my recollection, there was $110 million or a little bit more of amendments that we rejected on the floor. That wasn't cutting spending. That was just cutting to the budget I'm talking about. That was just cutting increases to the budget. So we have yet to try to cut spending in this legislature. There's no political will in this body to cut spending. And that's the frustrating part. And I hesitate to say cuts because there are not wholesale cuts out there. I get that. But there are efficiencies. And we've talked about them in the finance subcommittees. We've talked about them in pretty much all of our committees. And we just haven't done it. So that's the fourth leg that's missing here. You keep talking about revenues. We're talking about revenues, and I get that the amendment had to do with revenues, and that's where we're at. But the fourth leg is just as important as any other leg. And so we have got to find a way to cut our budget. We just do. And unless we do that, what we're doing here is just a partial solution, if that. But at least it gets the PFD off the table. My rant is over.
Thank you, Representative McCabe. Okay, I seek the will of the committee as far as the passage of the bill.
Mr. Chair, I move to report House Ways and Means Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute Senate Bill 107, version 33-LS0349/Oster. Out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill 107 is passed out of committee. Next, we will take up next order of business. We'll take up HDR 7. Well, brief it is. And we'll move Senate Bill 107 out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note. And without objection, we will give authority to legislative legal to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. And that is the official language that needs to go on the record. So we'll take a brief few days and sign the paperwork. Record. Now, HDR 7 is before the committee. The committee has gone through the normal legislative process with House Joint Resolution 7. We've heard public testimony. We've allowed time for amendments. And now we would like to move the resolution out of committee. Before I do that, I would like to ask if there are any questions or comments before we do so from members. Representative McKay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you give just a really brief summary of HDR 7? Because I don't have it before me, and just a brief recap.
Sure thing.
Refresh our memories. Thank you.
So, Representative McKay, HDR 7 requires the state to pay the annual permanent fund dividend according to a formula established in statute rather than by the annual appropriations process. The amendments in HDR 7 addresses the constitutional issues raised by the Supreme Court in its Wilikowski opinion, and that was adopted by the committee, that allowed the legislature to appropriate the annual dividend rather than just pay it out by a formula. So that constitutional amendment allows us to dedicate the funds, dedicate the PFD program without having to appropriate the money every year. That's the gist of the legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any additional comments or questions? All right, hearing none, our intention is to move this out. With that, Representative McCabe, do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to report House Joint Resolution Number 7, version 33-LS0439/Bravo, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal notes.
Hearing and seeing no objection, House Joint Resolution 7 is passed out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying zero fiscal note. Without objection, the authority is given to legislative legal to make any necessary technical and conforming changes. And with that, as that's our last order of business, we will be adjourned tonight as of 6:45. And before I do that, it looks like Representative Groh has a statement, and I would also let the record reflect that Representative Colomb and Senator Hughes joined us at 6:40. Thank you. Representative Groh. I already got them.
Okay.
Representative Groh?
Hasn't you announced, Mr. Chairman? More of a question, sort of a obviously only week to go in the legislative session. It'd just be useful for planning purposes to know what plans we had.
We have meetings scheduled for tomorrow, if that's what you're asking. We will have a joint meeting with the HESS Committee, Health and Social Services Committee, to look into the five-year plan of the Mental Health Trust. Authority, and then on Friday we will have a committee meeting as well where we will bring up our sales tax bill.
Okay.
Thank you, Representative Groh.
Thank you.
And with that, we will be adjourned as of 6:46 p.m.